due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
You're out here singing the same sad, tired diss track. The same one. It's embarrassing. See, that's the difference between you and me.
Hold on. Whose kid is this?
This is Harper from the Bludgeon Brothers, and you are listening to The Pain Clinic.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, welcome to the Pain Clinic for September 22nd. Holidays today. I'm going to trash this one. I have no idea how to say this. It's Eid ul-Adha Day, Business Woman's Day, Elephant Appreciation Day, Hobbit Day, International Rabbit Day, Rabbit National Hunting and Fishing Day, and of course, Oktoberfest begins in Germany today. Welcome to the show. Real quick, birthdays today. Ole Anderson turned 76. He's still alive, believe it or not. Ole Anderson, you might remember him from the original Four Horsemen or the grumpy old guy yelling, get off my lawn down the street. Also, Luther Reigns, you might remember him, former WWE superstar, is 47. And Bob Sapp, who never wrestled for the WWE, but he did Pride as well as other wrestling divisions. He is 45 today, the brother of Warren Sapp, NFL Hall of Famer. Defensive lineman from the Tampa Bay Bucks. The Pain Clinic is brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. Join us October 6th. It's 2 weeks from today for UFC 229 at Salvatore's Saloon. Salvatore's at the garage door, 149 East Ridge Road. Either place, you will be able to get the UFC and not pay a cover charge. 10 p.m. start time. Get there early. Conor McGregor is back in the octagon. And this will be his first fight back. He just signed like an 8-fight deal this past week, which will make him probably be fighting in UFC the rest of his career. But he will be fighting against a 20-0 champion, Khabib, who's undefeated. And that is 2 weeks from today. We'll be there. We'll be hosting it. There'll be drink specials all night long. That's October 6th, Salvatore Saloon, Salvatore's the Garage Door, UFC 229. Hey, interested in roller derby, want to be a skater, officiate, Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join the Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's roller derby, you want to skate for them, check out Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, Flower City Fear on Facebook. Good morning, I'm the Cashman. I'm joined by DC Dan Cole. Good morning, DC.
Good morning. Real quick, back to your holidays.
Holidays.
Do you know why today is Hobbit Day?
Hobbit Day. It's September 23rd. Is it the
22nd?
22nd. Sorry, it's the day after. It's fall autumnal equinox. I know that, but I don't know what else.
Well, in the books, today September 22nd is the birthday of Frodo and Bilbo.
Oh, they were both born on September 22nd.
So that's why it's Hobbit Day.
Oh, it makes sense. You know.
And now you know. And knowing is half the battle.
That's right. G.I. Joe. All right. Very cool. I'm glad that, thank you for I wasn't really sure. I'm not, like, International Rabbit Day, absolutely have no idea about that.
Those are just random, meaningless days. But Hobbit Day is something we could all come together
definitely.
And celebrate.
So welcome to the world of pro wrestling on the Pain Clinic. We're going to talk pro wrestling with you if you want to get involved. 222-1280. Star 1280. We're on Facebook Live. This should be our friend on the Pain Clinic on Facebook, and you can see the side of Dan's head right now.
Yes.
You know, stuck amongst a bunch of mics.
Huge head.
You know, it's just the side of it, though, with the iHeart right in front of it. But, yeah, we're here to talk pro wrestling. You know what's funny is like someone leaves us messages over the middle of the night on the texting. You can text us at 222-1280.
I saw that. Yeah. I was wondering why we had a message about wrestling at 1025 last night.
Yeah, it's WrestleLamia has an excellent video about why WWE ratings are declining. So, Bob, thank you for that. We're going to have to check out WrestleLamia. You know, and it's like, who knows, but, you know, we'll have an injection of numbers, I think, once we get over to Fox on SmackDown. But we got a lot of things to talk about, and I think might as well, and you can talk about whatever you want. In fact, we want your opinion, because we're going to start off right talking about the very first thing that comes to mind, which would be the finish to the Hell in a Cell last week, the Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman, Hell in a Cell, that, you know, Brock Lesnar appears out of nowhere, and like in a poof of smoke, shows up, kicks the gate down, runs up the gate to get into the ring, and then takes out both guys and then leaves. And then the pay-per-view ended. I thought maybe he'd roll one on top of the other or something, you know. No, he just left them both laying there. And then the pay-per-view went dark. And we got and all of a sudden Jeremy Borash was on TV talking about the Hell in the Cell with Mick Foley, which that's probably why I stayed awake, because it's like, hey, it's JB on WWE Network, and it was like, it was a really good show from Mick Foley. But Dan, what do you think about that? I mean, there's a lot of people upset there was no finish, and you have a really good point to make about that.
Yeah, I mean, number one, that finish was awful, because why was it ruled a no contest? Why? In here,
it was 10:30 too, so it was like there's plenty of time left on the clock, you know.
And here's what really bugged the hell out of me. You had a Hell in a Cell match, which before it got crazy stupid, was a fairly decent match.
Yeah, it was.
But then you had to have the interference from Drew and Dolph and Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, which made no sense other than they obviously wanted a spot where someone was going to be on top of the cell and someone was going to go through a table. So that made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, you knew the two big guys weren't going to be climbing up the outside of the cage at any point, you know.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Again, no reason for the match to end in a no contest based on what happened to either man. And then right after that, are you kidding me? You do the Mick Foley special where he gets thrown off the top. He gets thrown through it. He gets thrown on top of a pile of thumbtacks. And there was a finish in that match? It just made them look stupid. It made them look stupid. And the fans were right to chant, "This is BS," after it went off the air. And I hope Stephanie was listening then. Because, you know, that's the key to their success.
It is. Well, she listens to the fans, you know, so.
Yeah, okay.
She got an earful. Well, the thing is, you know, what happens is if you just keep killing the building up all these great, you know, promises with matches and stuff, and then you just kill it. By doing that, then they'll sell less tickets next time. And I think maybe they'll realize they're doing something wrong, you know? I mean, that's the only way. If it's not a sellout, you know, then there's, you know, proof that, you know, they're not listening to, which we know that. They may say that all they want, but in reality, you know, when they have they're drawing up the designs for the newest equipment for their number one stars, like Roman Reigns, you know, what can he wear coming out next? And, you know, they don't care what we say. You know, they don't care what we want. You know, if they did, then, you know, who knows? Maybe if they gave in all the time, then we'd have problems like Daniel Bryan forever, you know, which, I mean, Daniel Bryan wasn't a problem to us. It was a problem to them.
Right.
You know, it was definitely not. And that's the only time.
It was absolutely not the guy they wanted in that spot, but they had no choice because the fans were quite vocal.
Sorry, Bob Sapp is not, thank you, Fats, not related to Warren Sapp. I thought that they were related somehow, but nevertheless. And he texted that at 222-1280. Yeah, that, you know, it's, I don't know. You know what? I've enjoyed that match. I will say I was enjoying that match up until the end. And I'm like wondering at 10:30 why it's Brock Lesnar comes down, beats everybody up, and then it goes dark. It's like, what? I mean, there's plenty of time. Someone, you know, I thought he, you know, it almost looked like he was going to drag Roman Reigns on top of Braun Strowman because he, like, picked him and pushed him aside and something. But overall, the pay-per-view, they had some really good spots on it. I really enjoyed the AJ Styles-Samoa Joe match. I don't know what you folks think, 222-1280. Beyond that, I mean, you know, Ronda Rousey's kind of wearing thin on me now. I mean, they're really trying, but does she sound sincere in anything she says when there's a mic in front of her?
No.
Or does she sound like she's been practicing? You know, it's like, I mean, and even, what's his name? Baron Corbin. He's kind of almost sounding like it's natural coming out now, even though it still has a reed kind of sound to what he's saying, you know? But Ronda Rousey, you know, it was overall, I think it was a very even pay-per-view, but I don't think that, the way it ended, it just was like, ugh.
Right, and then in contrast, the other main title match, again, Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, great match, much better than their first match they had. And yes, that match had a screwy ending, but at least it served a purpose. At least it progressed things. It's not just drawing it out for no reason, which is what they seem to be doing with Raw.
Yeah. It's funny.
They're drawing it out so they can go into the Crown Jewel in November.
Yeah.
And have an excuse for that match.
You know, I was looking at their pay-per-view list. I might have mentioned it last week that I had to revamp my whole list on our news because there's only one pay-per-view, or technically quote-unquote pay-per-view, and that's, of course, that is the Evolution pay-per-view that's going to be in the end of October. But they have two events, one that's going to be 7 hours ahead of our time, the other one's going to be 13 hours behind. So neither of them are really aiming for I'm sure there'll be replays and people will be put on when people can watch. But if you want to watch it live, either going to stay up super late or get up really early in the morning for both of those shows. In fact, we're talking about one. It's going to be on right before we come on the air, I think, the one that's coming up in Australia here, the Super Show, you know. But, yeah, it also that's another thing that just grinds my gears. I'm turning into Peter. But they don't know what they're promoting. You know, they're mixing everything up now. Now they're promoting three different things. You know, poor Evolution's already having a hard enough time selling tickets. But it's bad enough. Now they've got two shows that are going to probably top it, you know, with talent-wise as well as, you know, excitement that they're talking about as well in there. And so I think the Evolution is going to kind of get pushed to the side a little bit. And Evolution was the make-good for last year's, where they were?
The Greatest Royal Rumble?
Yeah, Greatest Royal Rumble ever. So what do you think, Dan?
No, I think you're right. And we talked about this a little during the week, too, that, you know, trying not to be so negative like I always am, but WWE has been struggling with just their main shows and getting the build-ups for the main pay-per-views. And now you're throwing so much on their plate right now. They're going to have to simultaneously promote three events over the course of the next month and a half.
Yeah.
And something's going to suffer because of that. And right now it looks like it is the women.
And we didn't know the Crown Jewel until Monday when they came out and made the main event for it. Because of what happened at Hell in the Cell. So it's like...
And can I be honest? I'm sad that they're not calling it the Greatest Survivor Series.
Yeah, why not? You know, they love those adjectives, right? Changing them around all the time. We got to go to break on that. 222-1280, star 12 is the number. We're going to be back in just a minute. Take your calls. We're reading your text. I got a lot of texts coming through today. This is great. I definitely appreciate that. Corbin is the modern-day Lance Storm. Boring. I don't know. Lance Storm did that intentionally. I believe he's a much well-spoken guy.
I could be serious for a minute.
Exactly. You know, so we're going to be back after this. Just in the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Last night was rough. Last night was brutal. And last night, it didn't really go to plan for me. But the fact is, I woke up this morning and I am still the Universal Champion. The Miz is superior to Daniel Bryan. Don't believe me? I beat him at SummerSlam. I beat him at Hell in a Cell. And I am going to beat him again at WWE Super Showdown. Man, screw this crap. You should be thankful that Brock Lesnar came down last night because he's the only reason you still have that Universal Championship.
Okay, everybody wants to be a part of what Elias is doing because everything Elias does is special. But they all find out eventually what the truth is. And everyone here knows it. It's that WWE stands for. I said WWE stands for. Yeah, oh yeah, oh baby, oh baby.
Hey, this is me. It's me. It's that B to the G is the BG James. And you're listening to the Pain Clinic, pro wrestling talk show on 1280 WHTK. Listen and feel the pain. Nobody move. Nobody gets hurt.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man, DC Dan Cole, with you this week. Thank you so much for joining us. I want to thank Bob Matthews from the Bob Matthews Shows on WHAM. Every Wednesday now at 6:20, I have a segment. It's called Off the Top Rope with the Cash Man. And we'll talk a little pro wrestling on 1180 WHAM. So, and hopefully some of you guys who are listening this week might have heard me and want to participate, definitely. And thank you for the opportunity. We'll do it as long as we can. I had a lot of fun. Bob loves it. And we are definitely going to do some more wrestling talk every Wednesday, 6:20. Wham 1180. Here we are. We're going to the phones. It's Scott from Henrietta. Scott from Henrietta, what is going on in your world, sir?
Well, I look at All In, and then I look at Hell in a Cell, and I just start laughing.
Yeah, because everybody was trapped in, you know?
I mean, Hell in a Cell, yes. It was Hell in a Cell. It was a hell pay-per-view. It wasn't a good pay-per-view. If I had paid money for All In, and then I had paid money for Hell in a Cell, I would have wanted a refund from Hell in a Cell.
There were some good moments. AJ Styles, Samoa Joe. What a great, you know, that was a great match.
AJ Styles, Samoa Joe was a fantastic match. And I'll be honest with you, I stopped watching the show live after AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, because I knew, I had a feeling that the ending of Braun and Roman would be somehow, you know, something would not go right with it. And I was rewarded when I woke up the next morning and looked at the results. I'm like, yep, that's exactly what I thought.
Well, what do you think? Let me ask you, what do you think about Brock Lesnar? I mean, everyone had written him off after he had that second loss there to Roman Reigns in the rematch. What do you think? I mean, that had to have been a surprise, and everybody else seemed pretty much surprised. Now, we had heard that they had a big meeting, you know, before SummerSlam, and that they were going to offer Brock some sort of a new contract, and we knew that he was also going to go out to fight UFC, probably in January, most likely. It hasn't been announced yet, but...
But there was also a rumor floating a few days before that he was on the card for Saudi Arabia.
Yes, yes.
And if that's true, then I instantly know who he's fighting. He's fighting one of them. And it also got out earlier in the day on Twitter that he was in the building.
Okay.
So it got out earlier today, and unlike other surprises, he wasn't hiding. He was walking around backstage, apparently in full view of everyone. And it got out on Twitter, and I'm like, okay, fine. I know exactly where this is going.
Well, he wouldn't be there just visiting friends, I'm pretty sure, you know?
No, he wouldn't be there. You know, he's not there to visit friends. I'd be surprised how many friends he has in the back. He's made it very clear he's only ever interested in making money.
To be honest with you, he's friends with a bunch of people back there. I've seen a lot of friendly pictures with him and people's families and stuff. So he's you know, I mean, he plays a tough character, but I mean, he's been around. I mean, Heyman, of course, but I mean, there's a few other people that he's tight with. The guys that he started with back in SmackDown back in 2001, 2002.
Yeah, it's frightening. But if you look at the roster and you look at now and you try to connect how many people are still around this. It's not that many.
No, you're right.
It shows how much the industry's changed over the last 10, 15 years. There's not a lot of long-staying guys left.
You know, thank goodness that Brock Lesnar made all that money in UFC, because that's really what drew him back to WWE. If he didn't make $1 million a buy every time he fought, he wouldn't be this character we're seeing now.
But how much money – well, that's the thing. How much money did he have to pay back from the disqualification? Didn't he have to pay back –
I think it was
some of the money to Mark
I think it was $2 million, I believe, is what he was being paid, and he I think he had to give it all back.
And I'm pretty sure the rumor this week was they're talking seven figures to get him in the desert.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was one of the rumors. Was him and apparently Shawn Michaels were getting big money.
Yeah, hold on. Actually, there was some piece of news that I did this morning that did say that it was a lot of money that he's getting. You know, he renegotiated just for a couple events, and it's going to be a lot of money, but I can't find out where it was now. I can't remember. But, yeah, he's, of course, you know, I mean, and that makes it a more compelling match, a three-way with those guys, definitely, you know?
I get it. You know, I just hope it's not like the last time we had a three-way with those three when Lesnar was knocked out in the first 10 minutes and ended up on a stretcher and then magically came back. I hope it's not the same formula. I'd like a different formula. I'd like a nice hardcore match, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I agree. So that's really, that's one thing I did want to talk about, was him showing up after everyone thought he was done. And, the funny thing is because it's football day on Sunday, a lot of times I won't sit on Twitter and check things out. I wish I had now, because I would have had an idea. But I did the same thing you did. I had to work with the Wheeze on Monday. So, and that means a 4:30 wake up call. That means I was trying to go to bed after the Samoa Joe AJ match, too. And I had it on lightly in the background while I was trying to sleep, but I ended up waking up and watching everything. So it wasn't a terrible pay-per-view. It definitely wasn't all in, that's for sure.
No, I listened to the first segment with you guys. I completely agree. I miss the old days when I wanted to watch every single Monday. I can barely make it through a Raw anymore. And I seriously think that the Women's Evolution pay-per-view is suffering just for the fact that they've got their eye on so much money right now in Saudi Arabia and in Australia that they are being forced to sacrifice something. And once again, the women who consistently are putting on better matches are the ones who are suffering from this.
You know, the real sad thing is we've had a couple of women's injuries this past week. And Alexa Bliss was, I'm not sure exactly what was going on with her, but Sasha Banks also getting pulled from the mixed match challenge, both of them this past week, due to injuries that they said that Alexa Bliss is getting numbness in her left arm from some of the build up to her match at the Hell in the Cell. Not anything specific at Hell in the Cell, but then Sasha Banks, they didn't really say what was her problem, but she got hurt this past week and she got pulled. So there's two girls that, Sasha can work, and Alexa Bliss is getting better and better all the time. You know, to make Ronda look as good as she does, Alexa has to do a lot of work, and I think she did a great job.
And there's a simple solution to this whole thing. WWE knew what events they had coming up. Why did they choose to purposely put it in the middle of everything else?
Yeah, put it in. Yeah, you're right.
Put it somewhere else.
Look how much money they're making. I know, but if they had already, because we knew going into this year that there was a gap, that there was a 1 month gap where we didn't know what was going on. So you could tell they were already trying to lay the groundwork for Evolution, and then all of a sudden, here comes, I'm just going to say it, here comes a truckload of money. And when have we ever known them to turn away from a truckload of money?
Well, remember, this is the second time they've been in Saudi Arabia this year, and there will be no women involved in that whatsoever. So,
and neither will Sammy.
Yeah, I was going to say, and that's a week after the women's pay-per-view. So, And up until a couple months ago, TLC was originally planned to be in October. It was supposed to be like the week before Evolution was supposed to happen, but everything kind of got jumbled around with the whole, Crown Jewel as well as the Super Show from Australia,
I'm optimistic. I'm not. I don't like where this is going. I don't see any long-term planning. This just seems like, okay, look, here's a ton of money. Everybody, let's come up with these little quick fun matches and, screw the rest of the hardcore fans who for years have supported you just because you want to make, you want these big bonuses, these big payouts. That bothers me.
You know, to be honest with you, when I was watching Monday, I thought they were setting up the three-way match for the Super Show in Australia. I didn't realize that it was another show. So now they're cross-promoting two shows that are going to be on the network. And like I said earlier, one 7 hours earlier, the other's 13 hours earlier. So it's like none of them are in our time zone if you want to watch them live. And they're spending time on USA Network promoting, and they're trying to build up this Evolution pay-per-view, too, which is, like I said, is totally getting pushed aside.
Well, have we honestly seen any build-up at all for this pay-per-view?
They talked about it. They said, Trish Stratus will be taking on Alexa Bliss, or I think they've mentioned a few matches that they've brought.
But there's no build. You know you're not going to have any women's matches in Saudi Arabia, so at least have the SmackDown and the Raw women's division start building some stories for Evolution, because they're not going to the desert, and they're probably just going to be in some quick matches in Australia just to, they'll probably have like 8-man tags or 6-man tags just because they're going to be pushing so many people through those shows and so many matches.
Well, now we've got Kane sitting in the corner of The Undertaker, and I guess the story behind Kane now, because, Kane's a politician now. He has a real job Monday through Friday. But apparently WWE gave $100,000 towards one of his big charities or something like that, and that's why now he's free to go. You know, he's going to go and help them out because he got helped out.
I get that, but, I mean, what is he going to do, sit there in a cane mask and sign mayoral decrees? I mean, we could have a town hall meeting on the outside of the ring while that match is going on.
The Super Showdown. He's getting $100,000 to the Knoxville Public Safety Foundation in Knoxville County, Tennessee. That's the benefits Knoxville Fire Department, Knoxville Police Department, Knoxville County Sheriff, University of Tennessee Police Department. And so it's interesting that, you know, $100,000, yeah, okay, I'll go do it. And it's like, you know, it's probably, what, you know, a 28-hour flight and whatever it takes. But it's like, it's interesting that, you know, that, and of course, that's what The Undertaker comes out and announces this past week. Of course, not anything to do with Evolution, not anything to do with the Crown Jewel, yeah, but who knows? You know, that's still to be determined what's going to happen there besides Incredible Three-Way. They probably have another giant Royal Rumble, too, you know? And then we'll get to watch all the guys in the comfy chairs in the front row turning around talking to each other like it's a social party or something. You know, they'll be ordering drinks from their waitresses with their backs to the ring again like last year. I mean, if you watch closely, I swear to God, I saw that the whole time that was going on.
There were two or three guys in the front row. They honestly were not there to watch wrestling. They were there just to drink and have a good time and talk to their friends.
Yeah, they were all turned around standing. In fact, a lot of them were standing up with their backs to the ring. So it's like, okay, we know what WWE, you know, besides walk with Elias, we know it means, you know, where you can, you know, put the name on the check, you know? So, hey, Scott, thank you so much for calling.
Love it, guys. Talk to you later.
All right. 222-1280, Star 12 is the number. We actually have news to talk about too. We'll do this as we go, before we go into break. There was a meeting between WWE officials and Impact Wrestling's Ed Nordlum and Scott D'Amore at WWE headquarters in Stamford last week. It was reported that it was a general meeting, did not pertain to the sale of Impact Wrestling or its tape library to WWE. Now, we got a little bit more about that later in the week. It said an Impact source added that the meeting had nothing to do with potential sale of company or its video library, and neither are for sale. The Wrestling Observer, though, says now reports that Impact officials were pitching while WWE officials were listening to their ideas. The Observer added that the belief is that the meeting did have to do with WWE Network and the Impact tape library. So, you could, you know, WWE Network has a lot, you know, 24 hours, 7 days a week, and Impact, you know, probably it wouldn't hurt them if they had like a show on the WWE Network. I know they're competition. WWE doesn't see it as it, and Impact doesn't have enough funding behind the superstars on their team to actually be a true competition. But would that be a kind of show you might watch if it was like, say, a Thursday night or a Friday night on the WWE Network?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, if you could do, I mean, I think there's a lot of potential there. Again, I think I've always thought the main thing that WWE would be interested in is the tape library.
Sure.
Especially when you have feuds currently going on
in the main
like
event.
Samoa Joe and AJ Styles.
Sure.
And all they did in TNA and Impact.
And Kurt Angle coming back.
Right.
Yeah, you know, so it's like he'll be coming back soon enough to wrestle. So,
but yeah, more wrestling content is never a bad thing for WWE if they want the network to keep succeeding.
I would love to see them keep TNA Impact or Impact Wrestling alive by giving them an opportunity to do a live show every week. I think that would definitely, I mean, right now they're on the Fight Network up in Canada, and they're on a few places. They're on Pop. But they draw about between 200,000 and 300,000 viewers a week, and it's really, you know, those are, I mean, to me, those are astronomical numbers being in the market like Rochester, New York, where we have 1 million in the surrounding area. But if you had 230,000 people that wanted to watch anything in this area, that would be pretty cool. But in the real world, it's a very small number.
Right.
But, you know, and it keeps their head above water. But, you know, because sometimes they do make money when they go out and do live shows. And they have, of course, their main pay-per-view Slammiversary coming up real soon, where a friend of ours who's been on the show before, Abyss, is going into their Hall of Fame. But we're going to go to break on that, come back on the flip side with so much more news. That's just a tip of the iceberg for news. Got a lot more coming up. In fact, I'll just give you a hint. I'm your poppy. We'll talk about that on the flip side. You're listening to The Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
I'm going to teach you tonight the economics called Brockonomics. It's a very sophisticated financial concept, but it's so simplistic in nature. It goes like this. The more you are worth, the bigger star you are, the more leverage you have, the more powerful you get
in WWE, the more money you're worth in UFC.
Now everyone knows that I took Shawn Michaels' career, and I'm going to do the same to Triple H's career. But it seems that he deserves far worse. So not only am I going to take his career, I'm going to take his soul, and I'm going to put him down. They say delusion is the final recourse for the damned. That no man can spin a web of lies like a man that has a broken soul. And I have never seen anyone with a more broken soul than Triple H.
All right, this is The Undertaker of the World Wrestling Federation, American Badass, and now you're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to The Pain Clinic. But Triple H signs your checks, Undertaker. He may have a broken soul, but make sure that hand still works. Welcome back to the show. I'm the Cashman with DC Dan Cole. I want to remind you, last week's guest we had on, Jack Swagger, former WWE Jack Swagger, is going to be at the Main Street Armory tonight. They have an MMA show, Rage in the Cage 6, at the Main Street Armory. Jack is going to be there. Jake Hager, his real name, but he goes by formerly Jack Swagger. He's going to be there between 5 and 6, signing autographs, meeting fans. So if you want to meet the former Jack Swagger, maybe put your hand up on your heart and speak along with him as he says the magic words. Go meet him tonight at the Main Street Armory between 5 and 6. I'm the Cash Man. I'm with DC Dan Cole. We're going to talk. I kind of teased as we went to break a little bit. And this kind of blows my mind a little bit, because I remember when he was a little kid in Rochester. He was a little kid in Rochester who, in the middle of the Eddie Guerrero-Rey Mysterio feud, his son Dominic must have been 10, 11. I don't remember. Do you remember, Danny?
I would even say maybe younger than that.
Yeah, with Dominic, Rey Mysterio's 21-year-old son, Dominic Gutierrez, is currently training at Lance Storm's Storm Academy Wrestling in Calgary, Alberta. Mysterio noted on Instagram that Dominic just started a 3-month training session at Storm's Academy. Now, do you know Dominic was taller than Ray when he was here? I mean, even at that 10 years old, I think he was taller than Ray. So
he's we got someone on the Facebook feed saying he was 8.
He was 8. Oh, man. I'm your poppy. Remember, that was a great angle, you know? I mean, and it really, there was a big storyline here in Rochester between the two. That's when they all started to fall apart. I thought it was, you know, that was definitely, I mean, but man, anyone remember that? 222-1280, star 1280. You can text us, you can call us, and thank you so much for texting us. 8 years old. That is crazy. I like how it gets a few people texting us. Champ says, Leo Rush is my new favorite part of Raw. I love Leo Rush. When he was hopping over everybody to get out of the way, I thought that was fantastic. You know, Kevin Owens was coming out to kill him, and he's just jumping over him. And definitely, I was scared. You know, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I was kind of scared that maybe we were going to lose out on the 205 guys as they get absorbed into, you know, the Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. I'm hoping it doesn't mean 205 disappears, but I do enjoy these guys that not only can, you know, work, but also have great mic work that they can use other places, you know, maybe for mouthpiece for Bobby Lashley. I think it works. Do you see?
I was just going to say, speaking of 205, did you see the sick spot from the Cedric and Drew match?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Where they were locked up in suplex going back and forth. Then he suplexes him over the top rope onto the floor, and they never contact with each other.
That was insane.
It was amazing.
That, you know, and that's kind of an indie type thing you would see on a local show and stuff. It's not like the typical WWE stuff, you know?
Again, aside from NXT, the best wrestling you will see during the week is on 205 Live.
Definitely.
Every now and then you get a good match on Raw or SmackDown, but it's the underappreciated shows like NXT and 205 that have the real solid wrestling matches.
No, yeah, and you know, they I mean, these guys that are all in 205, I mean, they have such a reputation of after being out on the road doing this for 15 years before most of them came there. And I remember when Rich Swann showed up, it's like, oh, man, I heard about Rich Swann for years. Finally got to see him. I was completely blown away. Now he's doing Impact Wrestling, which I don't have a problem with whatsoever. But I enjoy Leo Rush, another guy. I mean, it's interesting that he... He's starring in Hulu's remake of Webster. Oh, I think someone's being funny. Thank you.
Oh, Murph.
Oh, it's Murph. Hey, buddy. What's up, Murph? Oh, man. I miss my buddy Murph. Man, Murph, we got a big anniversary coming up.
I haven't seen Murph. I hope he's going to make it to that.
I hope so, too, dude. And I'm going to talk to him about
Murph,
it.
Murph, I miss you.
Yeah, so I think we're going to have like a revolving rotation of people in the studio that weekend, too. Just people coming in.
Can I tell you, like, again, like, I'm so thrilled I'm here. Like, having gotten to join the show a couple years ago. And I am so sad I am not going to be here at all in November.
That's right. That's right.
I'm not going to be here for any of the shows leading up to our Survivor Series party.
Oh, man. But you'll be there for that. I know you're going to be dead tired.
Yes, I am going to be there.
It's going to be one you may want to take the next day off of work. We'll just say that. Okay?
I don't know if I could take another day off on top of the 2 weeks I'm taking off prior to that.
Oh, man. So I just mentioned earlier, it's going to be a good time, promise. I promise it will be. Alexa Bliss, she's suffering numbness in her left arm, they said. So that's pretty sad. It's scary when, you know, usually it tends to be spine problems when that things like that happen. And it's like, I'm hoping it's not, but... just some other news. You might find this interesting. CM Punk just wrapped up filming a movie. The movie's called Girl on the Third Floor. Punk's character is a man who's failing as a husband who believes he can make up for his past mistakes by fixing up an old house. Interesting. Well, we'll see how that goes. It's just finishing up, so... It doesn't sound like a horror movie, that's for sure, but you know, you'd suspect from Punk. But Punk is busy. You know, he is busy out there doing stuff. I did mention Abyss is going into the Impact Hall of Fame. He's been with TNA since the very first pay-per-view in the summer of 2002, which I remember watching on a Wednesday night. It was a two-hour pay-per-view. And he definitely deserves it. He's former NWA World Heavyweight, two-time TNA TV champ, one-time X Division, one-time NWA World Tag Team, two-time TNA Tag Champs. He'll be joining Sting, Kurt Angle, Jeff Jarrett, Earl Hebner, Team 3D, and Gail Kim in the Impact Hall of Fame. The 2018 Impact Hall of Fame induction ceremony will take place Saturday, October 13th, during the Bound for Glory weekend in New York City. Mikhail's Pub in Lower Manhattan will host the ceremony. So if you're a fan of Abyss, and we just saw him in town here, was it a year and a half ago? Was it last summer? Last summer, where he came out. He wrestled early, and I was like, oh, no, Abyss, you're going to come out and do your brother, too? And he's like, no, I'm getting out of here. It's nice to catch up with him, though, and he just got done with a match, so it's like, yeah, I'll let him cool down a little bit before we talk to him. Definitely, he's a great dude. He's been on the show. We had him on as well as his brother from in the middle of the ring, I believe. JB handed the mic over to him and got to talk to him for quite a bit. So 222-1280, star 1280, there's something, let's see. We got to tag someone. I'm waiting for that oh my God moment, that shocking. Did you see that unpredictable moment? Otherwise, thanks. Thank you for DVRs. Right now, Becky Lynch has been grabbing the brass ring. Let's talk a little bit about Becky Lynch. Does Becky Lynch, I mean, listen, she was out there and they were cheering her on against Charlotte as she, you know, was bad mouthing her. She was, she was making her, you know, call her queen and other things. And
oh my God, that segment was so good.
Yeah, that was a great interview segment. And it's like, and you think at one time it looked like Becky might be rescinding her evilness, but nope. She's had to step it up another notch every time. It looked like she might be having second thoughts. It was great. I thought it was a great, well planned out promo. Charlotte getting booed as she's getting beaten up. I mean, do you think that the writers are surprised at this? That this is the reaction they're getting?
If they listen to the fans, they can't be surprised. I mean, I was against this whole Becky heel turn, but she is, as the texter kind of alluded to, she's grabbing that brass ring. No, she took this ball and she is running with it. And I think this is the best Becky Lynch we've seen in a long time. And she's getting a lot of praise from a lot of people. I mean, Jim Ross coming out and comparing her right now to Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, yeah.
And Becky took that as huge praise. She did an interview this week where she said, you know, whatever it is she's doing right now, She's loving it.
Yeah.
And she's one of those people, too. Like, I have never heard one bad word about her from anybody, from fans encountering her, from, like, backstage stuff. So she's one of these people that I think she's put in the work, and she deserves this right now.
Well, you hear about the path it took her to get to WWE. It was a tough one.
Yeah.
I mean, she was working as a stewardess for an airline, and she quit to go back to do that, quit wrestling because she felt it. And then someone talked her back into coming back in and trying out because of NXT and the more emphasis on women. And boy, that was a great mistake. It was a great decision. And I'm glad that she did. And yeah, she is getting the Steve Austin, you know, and I love it how she's coming out and just, you know, she sells her convincingly, unbelievably convincingly in what she's saying. And you can see it in her eyes. And it's not like Baron Corbin reading, you know, it's not, there's a lot of heart in what she's doing. And I really enjoy what's going on. I do like Charlotte Flair too, but it's like, you know, I mean, if someone's got, you know, I think Charlotte would be more than happy to take the booze, even though she's the face in the whole thing. You know, I think because if her friend can get a reaction like that, and she is getting it, and I think the writers have struck something good there, without a doubt. This is one thing they've done good, and they didn't even intentionally do it good; it just happened that way.
Unless they did,
unless it was intended.
What do we really know?
I know, but think about it. Charlotte didn't come back till like 2 weeks before SummerSlam, and suddenly got inserted into it. So, I mean, and I know Charlotte.
Well, it's the John Cena treatment, where you're gone for 6 months, and then your first match back is a title match, which you win.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, I think that, you know, and then I can understand the character, Becky's character, and the way she reacted, but it's the way the crowd has been behind her. They've always been behind her. I mean, from her beginnings, the crowd has been behind Becky Lynch.
No, and I think it's kind of because Becky is acting out exactly what the fans wanted. The fans wanted to see her as champion.
They did.
And at this point, they don't care how it happens.
And when she didn't get it and Charlotte got it, everyone was disappointed.
Exactly.
And they booed Charlotte Flair when she won it because they wanted Becky Lynch. So, yeah, I think we're going to go to break on that. That's intense. That's an intense segment. I think, and maybe they did intend it. I just can't believe that they would stumble into something good, you know?
Hey, they might have backed into it, but it still happened, and it's good. We have something good.
All right, 222-1280, Star Toys number. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. We'll be back right after this.
Seatbelts, everybody, for safety.
Introducing Pick Me Up, a podcast from Lyft and Gimlet Creative, all about people who are driving towards something big. Each episode, we'll get to know a Lyft driver.
I would call his style swagadocious.
Learn about their dreams.
I'm going to own a restaurant.
And then give them a little boost.
Damn, that's Ashanti.
Pick Me Up is out September 25th. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Make your home an ADT home and help protect against break-ins, fire, and carbon monoxide. Get our lowest rate for fast response monitoring, starting at just $28.99 a month. That's about a dollar a day from the most trusted name in home security. Get ADT's tested, trusted, and proven security and service now at a great value. Don't wait. Call today. ADT. Always there. Now everywhere. Requires 36-month monitoring contract. Early termination, taxes, and install fees apply. Certain markets excluded. See terms and pricing at ADT.com.
I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
This is the Nature Boy Ric Flair. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. Listen or feel the pain. Woo!
Woo! Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Little Alexa Bliss coming back in. I kind of like her music a little bit. It's just very techno-y. Who's the guy that was on 205 that has the techno-y music? Come on, like they played video games on the ramp when he was coming down.
Oh, TJP.
Yeah, TJP. TJ Perkins, which...
He had his 8-bit music.
That's right. Love that stuff. Welcome back to the show. I'm the Cashman. I'm here with DC, Dan Call, and you. And we've got... You know, I mentioned Dominic the son of Rey Mysterio, but I didn't really mention Rey because there was some news about Rey this week. If you're a Rey Mysterio fan, looks like he signed a 2-year contract with the WWE, 18-month contract, and which can probably go longer. I'm sure he's able to renegotiate after 18 months, but it's a 2-year contract. And he's going to be able to, we'll see what happens when he debuts. I mean, there's been talk for many months that Rey Mysterio is coming back, ever since that appearance at the Royal Rumble. You know, that shocker that happened. Was it the Royal Rumble?
Wasn't it the greatest?
The greatest Royal Rumble. Yeah, yeah. So it's, which was a mind blower, too. But he's made a few appearances in WWE, too. So, someone just wrote, Mad Dog, thanks, brother. Said someone needs to work on Charlotte and Ronda on their gear. Flashing the crowd lately. Yeah, if you saw Charlotte during the pay-per-view, it was on Monday when she got beat up by Becky. She had, like, something that was allowing her chestal area to become exposed, possibly, because she was holding it the whole time she was getting beat down so it wouldn't open up. Yeah, you need that two-sided tape or something, you know? But, heck, if you're a real fan, you've already seen that anyway. So, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That's a terrible thing to say. But definitely some other texts coming in. Appreciate everyone who sends something in. You can call us, too. We still got a couple minutes left here. Danny, anything else stand out from this week that really grinds your gears?
I mean, no, I think we got, you know, most of that out of the way. We always tend to open up with our gripes.
Sure. And
I was glad we could talk in the last segment about some good stuff, like whatever it is they're doing with Becky Lynch. And for the disastrous finish that the Universal Championship match was, I loved the finish to AJ and Samoa Joe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I loved that. I loved the way it played out. I loved the way Joe responded at the end of the match. Yeah. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I didn't understand until after they showed that replay a little bit later. It's like, oh, so, you know, AJ was... So it helps build up a good rematch.
Well, you know. Everything worked perfectly there. The way Joe reacted at the finish, the way he went to the announce table, and then Corey Graves played into it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, at first you don't see the replays. They take a long time, that slow burn to show that replay where he did.
Yeah.
And, you know, if AJ's such a great guy, like, he's celebrating even though he knows he taps, but he still won.
True.
I don't know. A lot of intrigue coming out of that match. And I could watch those guys wrestle every month if they wanted to.
Yeah, that definitely. And you know, on the opposite side, The Miz versus Daniel Bryan with their wives, it was terrible.
Yeah.
I didn't want to talk about that at all, but I just was not happy with how that all came down. It was just not, Miz is up 2-0, obviously. Both him and his wife have pins over, you know, Brie and Daniel Bryan. It was a good match when it was Miz and Daniel Bryan, but...
And then it was hot trash when it was...
Yeah, it almost felt like it was forced in there, too, you know?
We talked about the writers, you know, sacrificing the build-up for the women's evolution. Another thing that's hurting it is the Bellas being back and them being given all the time they're being given.
Especially even on Monday with Ronda, coming out to help Ronda.
No.
I think... Sorry, I know they got a TV show to hit, but we got to get out of here. Danny, thank you so much for the time. Thank you to all the listeners. We'll see you next week here on Fox Sports F1280. Catch me on Wham 1180 Wednesdays at 6:20 with the Off the Top Rope, and thank you for listening.